3, 2, 1.
Hi, and welcome to another episode of Unicorns Do Exist. I am your host, Vanessa, and today I have a very special guest, a new friend of mine, Marco Antonio Solis. No, just kidding. Tell us your real name.
Marco Enriquez.
Enriquez. Mm-hmm. And how did we meet?
We met through a very good friend of ours. Sure. I think we can check on that.
Yes.
Sapito, who is a very nice girl.
I don't normally say names, though, in the podcast.
I didn't say a name, I said these names.
Okay, but if I say, like, I'm so talking about my ex, I say my ex. I don't say
I'm going to throw everybody under the bus on this podcast.
Perfect. You can do whatever you like. This is a safe space. I want you to be comfortable and talk about
feel safe.
Whatever
even
it is.
Though I'm not wearing anything underneath, I do feel safe.
Why did you choose not to wear anything underneath?
So I'm very comfortable.
Okay, good.
So, yes, let's go. I'm ready for the first question.
Está dando comezón.
Sí. ¿Segura que lavaron la silla?
No, they did. We washed them. Anyway, we had a conversation earlier about my sister mentioned to me, like, I seem to always live my life the way I want to, regardless. Whether someone's in it or not, that doesn't determine the way I'm going to live. For example, a lot of people would say that I had a very lucky life and I was very lucky that I had my ex to give me such an easy life, right? Because I didn't have to work if I didn't want to, right?
Is that your current situation?
No, I don't have my ex and I still do whatever I want, whenever I want, whomever I want. Mm-hmm. The point was that back in the day, a lot of people would assume or say, oh, you don't, because I would say, no, everyone can live this way. Everyone can have this life. Everyone can do exactly what they want whenever they want. With whomever they want, they just have to believe it. But no one would believe me because, oh, it's easy because you have your ex, your partner. Or it's easy for you because you were born into money. Mm-hmm. And people can say it in different ways, such as, it's easy for you because, you know, you have X, Y, and Z. Yeah. You have your parents, you have this and that. And it's like, to me, that's not the source. And that is not a reason. The reason I live this life is because God gave it to me.
And you choose to live.
And I choose to live this way. And but even if I chose or didn't choose, if it wasn't for God's wanting me to have this life, I wouldn't.
Completely.
So people want to assume that the partner, the parents, the being born into money is the source, and that's not the source. That's just a conduit of what God has put in place for you to have it.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Why do you say correct?
Because I actually feel like my life is the same way.
Good.
Like very similar in many ways because it hasn't always been that way, but
correct.
As I've grown more open to the idea, the more I think about it, the easier it is to visualize it that way. Like I create
my reality.
I create, I believe that if I make the decisions trusting that the path will bring me what I need to continue to live this way, it'll happen. And I'll give you an example. Like for instance, I will not stress over money. I don't stress over money. I share. I'm not afraid of sharing. I'm not afraid of eating the things that I want to eat, buying the things that I want to buy. And I'm not wealthy, but yet everything comes back. There's not a time where I have felt like I really, really need to stop living the way I'm living, which is following my excitement, because of any financial or anything, even though I don't have what other people have.
You mentioned that it wasn't always that way.
It wasn't, but it was my perception. It wasn't that life wasn't giving it to me, it was my perception of it. I was the one that chose to believe that I had the stress, I chose to believe that I didn't have enough, I chose to believe that I was.
What shifted that in your life?
Pain. The pain of, at the end of the day, it was like going through situations that took me to a level of either depression or sadness, or that made me kind of open my eyes to kind of go the other way around and start looking up and looking into a brighter future and all that. And then once I did that, then it kind of opened up my view to a beautiful reality. And after that, once I shifted to that, then everything became easier. Like, I don't stress. I really don't stress about anything. I wake up happy. I go to sleep happy. And
was it Was it just like I felt so much pain that there's no more pain to feel?
Or was not necessarily, because obviously we keep experiencing, there's other new pain, there's new, well, or not necessarily pain, but it's like different feelings, emotions, but the fact that you're open to the idea of living new things allows you to understand that it's that could be the outcome of it.
What
so,
did you leave behind?
The first thing were my parents. Like my parents passing, I think that was one of the hardest things in life that kind of made me wonder or question everything about life, right? And that was like the first thing that was very challenging. And I think that for a lot of people that haven't experienced that, that you won't know until you experience it. Mm-hmm. But I'm like the youngest of a large family, so.
¿Cuántos?
14.
Nice.
So I was technically like the baby of the family. Mm-hmm. And when I lost my parents.
How old were you?
I was 21.
Oh, yeah,
that's
still very young.
Which is not, it's not that young, but I was in a new country. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a bunch of things that were kind of played all together. And that was my dad. Mm-hmm. When my mom passed away, it was a little bit easier to accept because at that time, I had already understood that
it was going to happen.
It's nature. We're all going to die. Like, everybody's going to die. And that's one of the most natural. And it's one of the most natural, or it's actually the one thing that we all know that's
going to happen. Common, yes.
Yeah. Like, nobody knows what's going to happen tomorrow, but we're all going to die one day or the other.
Correct.
So until, that was kind of like the first switch, mm-hmm. right? Like accepting the fact that we're all going that route. And then the choices from point A to point B, where you're born, where you die, mm-hmm. the choice of how you perceive life and the choices you make in terms of how you perceive life are yours. Nobody else should determine that.
Correct.
And that's kind of what you were talking about. Like, you choose to live a happy life. You choose to live a life with abundance.
But see, I had to go and find these answers in books and meditation and Tony Robbins and things like that, which helped me shift my perception. What was that for you? Because one day the thought just came into your head, like, what?
No, I know. It was through people. Okay. I always absorb. Like, I feel that everybody that comes to my life comes with a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody. Like, every single one person that comes to my life comes with a purpose. And before I was not aware of it, but now that I am, I'm very, like, I pay attention to each individual and I try to see the lesson behind our connection. Yeah, correct. So, I want to say that there was one person in particular that has taught me the most, and I thought that person was the love of my life, mm. you know. But I just learned like 2 or 3 days ago that there's your first love, the love that teaches you, that makes you grow, and then there's the love that you're gonna spend the rest of grow with. Yeah.
Yeah,
I didn't know this. I learned this like yesterday
really?
Or 2 days ago. Well, that person was the love that helped me grow. And
how did you learn it? Like, did you read it in a book? Did you hear
that? I just came across that yesterday.
No, but where did you see
like
it?
I heard it somewhere. Like,
oh, okay.
I don't know
where.
And that's kind of how information gets to me. I'm not a good reader. Like,
You're not actively looking for it.
No, I'm not in, like, by no means searching for something. I just pick whatever comes to me, mm-hmm. like, during the day. Right now, these right here, this is a very unique way of
learning.
Oh. And kind of, like, exchanging ideas. Which I kind of knew that you were at that level of, I wouldn't call it that.
I call it, but I do.
But yeah, but it's nice to see that we finally level up.
Connecting, falling in love.
And, yeah.
No, that's awesome. But the reason why I was asking is because for me, it was different. Like, I had to go. I knew that there was more inside. There was more out of life, and I knew that there's more that I wanted. Mm-hmm. I just didn't know how to get it. I didn't know where to look for it. I didn't know what it looked like because I had never seen it. And everyone would always tell me, you're too picky, you're too this, you're too that. Kind of like, not necessarily lower your standards, but like, qué más quieres? And I was like, I don't know, but I know it's not this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what made me want to go look for it. Yes, it came with pain. Yes, it came with challenges and all that. For me, it was like learning and challenging everyone's thoughts and ideas and minds. Mm-hmm. For you, you said it was your parents.
That was like the triggering factor. And then after that, I think that sometimes my bad choices too, like, you know, you make bad choices and then the consequences of it make you sort of, and sometimes it's like years after, right? That you look back and you're like, I could have done that differently. And, you know, but at the same time, it's like, okay, so that's, I did that. I need to embrace it and just learn from it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's technically what I have taken through the years. Personally, I have realized one of the things that I've concluded is that males, we take longer to realize these things.
Why do you think that is?
Because our...
Since you're a man.
In all honesty, because our focus is in... It's more physical. Since we're younger, the mentality of a male...
It's longer to develop.
But I think that there are factors that slow us down.
Like
the culturally machismo.
The,
you know what I mean? Like there's there are factors that make us dumber, and I'm not saying this intellectually, like dumber in the fact that we pay attention to stuff that is not necessarily as important as it should be, or mm-hmm. as we should.
Like you just your ass or tits kind of thing.
For a while.
For a long
time. When you have a 14, 15-year-old female and you have a 15-year-old male, the female will be looking for love while the male is looking for sex.
Yeah.
That alone says everything of what I'm saying. Sex is an instant. Love is something that can really
grow and flourish.
Yeah, correct. That's just as simple as what I'm talking about. So then you take that and then it's exponentially, like through life, if you get stuck on that mentality, it could take, that's where you have a lot of young girls that are pregnant because they felt like, oh, this is the love of my life. And the guy was just really looking for a moment. And yes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's the truth, you know? So personally, I just think that is a reason.
Were you like that?
Yes, definitely. Yeah. I think 99% of them, even though they accept it or don't,
that's they think with a different type of head.
That's correct. That's what I think. But also, see, I think there are two important things that I reflect on. That is, if you have a daughter, you need to teach her that, right? To not get fooled by that.
Same.
If you have a boy, they need to teach him that. They shouldn't fool women because they really give themselves.
So they should start thinking with their other head.
Well, be a little bit more conscious of what the other person is thinking and their emotions. That's what I think.
Well, yeah, but it takes a parent that's been through it to be able to teach that.
Well, it takes a whole society.
That too.
Mm-hmm. It takes a whole society, and that's the hard part.
So I don't know if you were a player, but my dad was... a player, you know, digamos que era mujer, no mujeriego, pero he was handsome, he knew it, and he liked to flirt with girls, right? Mm-hmm. Not until he met my mom.
I'm not a flirt.
Not until he met my mom that, you know, le puso una hasta aquí, and then he, you know, fell in love and stayed. Did he cheat? Probably. But growing up, he would always, el hombre no piensa así, el hombre piensa así, yo, aquí es tu papá, soy hombre. Your cousins, your uncle, he was always like telling me like, men are this, men are that, men are assholes, men are dicks, men are, all the time. I'm not saying he made me gay, he didn't make me gay. But he did make me aware enough to like, learn to protect myself. And even when he would always say like, mira, tu mamá, this is what a good woman is. These all these women, these are all, you know, pose and this and that and that. Mm-hmm. Ever since I was like 10 years old, and now my sisters and I and none of us are married anymore. But I think because my dad lived his life that way, because he knew what he's done and the way he treated women, that he had three daughters, that's why he wanted to make sure no one did that to them. And the fact that you're saying like, it's up to our parents, but there's a lot of parents that don't want to admit that I am an asshole. I was an asshole. And even though I
don't have a problem admitting that.
Correct, but mucha gente no es así. And even though you don't have a daughter, do you have a daughter?
I don't have a daughter.
Exactly, even though you don't have a daughter, you're still aware enough to be like, hey, my son, I want him to do better.
Yeah.
Versus there's parents or guys, men, that be like, I don't have a daughter, so I don't have to worry about it.
And like, for me, it's out of love to my son. Like, I don't want him to. Because see, the thing is that the things that I've done have
consequences.
They had consequences, and I lost beautiful people. You know what I mean? Like, it's all experience, but at the end of the day, it hurt. So because I love my son, I don't want him to hurt. I don't want him to go through painful situations. And obviously, he will. One way or the other, he will, and I understand that. But if I feel that my job as a parent is to whatever I have, even if he doesn't listen to me, you know, even if he like they say, entra por un oído y le sale por otro, that's okay. I get it. I still think that it's my job to let him know, or at least whatever he catches on those little talks that we have, and if he helps him in the future, then I'm gonna feel happy that
you
that's
do your
okay.
Job.
Yeah. And I don't only do that with the whole relationship thing.
Mm-hmm.
I do it with finances. I do it with schooling. Everything, like everything that I've gone through, that my brain allows me to compare and show him, I try to help.
Did anyone do that for you growing up?
I had a brother, but my parents,
no.
No, because my parents, they were very limited when it came to education. But the relationship with me and my parents, it was more, let's say, 80% love and 20% trying to show me something. Because there were so many of us, and they were already
14, you said, right?
Yeah. And imagine like the stress of my mom raising so many kids.
I have
and
one.
And me being the last one, I was spoiled. I was definitely the spoiled one because I was the youngest one. But I don't think she had the energy to find out things and try to teach me. Mm-hmm. But my dad was very, I think he was a wise man. You know, he was very wise. I remember one thing that he told me that I will never forget is that he said that I needed to learn how to cook or wash dishes and do things on my own. And he said that because if you get married and your wife gets sick and you need to do things. And I always remember that. So that's why I cooked, and I know how to do everything for myself. I don't need a maid.
Where did you grow up in? Like, where they said you?
Mexico
you said you
City.
Moved here when you were 21.
I was 19. I was actually 18. I grew up in Mexico City.
La ciudad o está?
It's on the outskirts. Nací en la ciudad de México y crecí en like borderline del estado de México.
Mm, okay.
Yeah.
And were you, when you came, did you come with your whole family or was it just you?
No, just me, yeah.
But did most of them stay back?
Yes, I had three brothers here that already live here and were married and had kids and everything.
And sisters?
Most of them are over there, yeah. Yes. Or were over there, yeah.
Do you think it's because they got married and they stayed?
Okay. Yeah, that's kind of how it's gone. Like right now, I have family pretty much everywhere. Here and Guanajuato and Aguascalientes, like that's why I have a bunch of places to visit.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Next trip, Aguascalientes. Mm. I never been there.
Oaxaca.
Okay, that's true too. Supposedly, my dad's side is from Oaxaca, but I don't know if it's true. My sister always tells us. She's the one that's like all into like ancestry.
Yeah.
And they say tengo una prima en la ciudad, and I'm like. That's not your cousin. She's like, yeah, it is. We matched on Facebook and this and this. I'm like, that's not your cousin, girl. Like, you don't know this. You've never met her. She's like, yo voy a conocerla. And I'm like, oh, God.
That's cool.
That means, yeah.
Sure, as long as it's, you know, it's a safe thing, you know?
Good for her. You don't know.
But we're going to Oaxaca, so.
No, we are.
Maybe find out who your cousins are.
No, hombre, no, yo no. My cousins, the cousins I have, I know.
Keep it limited.
Yeah, I don't... I don't like to go looking for people, especially like. I mean, ¿de qué vamos a hablar?
Yeah.
¿De qué sos? Like, you
especially if you don't have así como que like the background of like, oh, you're somebody's cousin or whatever. Yeah, it makes sense.
For me, my dad was very. He was different. He was very different, which is cool. Pero él era. It was him and his brother. His mom passed away giving birth to his brother. So my dad was two when his mom passed away. And so he never really had a mom. So he grew up with my tías and my cousins. So when I do say, like, I'm going to see my tío Arturo, I'm going to go see my tío Neto, they're actually his cousins, but they actually grew up with them in the same household
so
and
they
everything.
Feel like
to me, they're my cousins. They're my cousins, sorry, my tíos, because I would go visit them and stay with them.
Mm-hmm.
But if knowing that that's how he was raised and that's the family he had.
You feel safe.
Like, how am I gonna go look for otra tía, you know, or like, oh, because my, I guess his dad did remarry and have other kids and stuff like that, mm-hmm. but they were not in my dad's life, so why, like, why am I gonna be in their
life?
They're
real close to them. Yeah, I understand.
Yeah. And I get the whole, like, just because they're not, I'd rather have cousins or friends and family that I'm close with, even though they're not related, that are family to me, versus you're my blood and I've never seen you in my life.
I have a question for you when it comes to that. So, do you feel that you can bond with somebody like that you just met more than the family,
member?
Or not necessarily a family member, like blood related, but you haven't really talked to in your entire life, and then all of a sudden you're like introduced to, you know, well, that's your cousin, right?
Si.
And
you like him.
And, but you feel like you could have a stronger bond with somebody that you met like a month ago or 3 months ago that genuinely, like, you've been spending time with.
Yes, I think so.
Yeah.
I don't think blood has anything to do with it per se. I understand that people say like, oh, I have a connection or I felt a connection. That's cool if you feel that connection. Mm-hmm. But if you don't feel the connection, I don't care if you're my blood brother. I just, mm-hmm. there's no connection. Mm-hmm. And I'll be respectful and I'll be kind, mm-hmm. but I'm not going to force something I can't. I have, for example, I have two cousins. They're not my cousins. We're not related at all. But we were brought up together since we were little. Mm-hmm. And they're my cousins. I don't care what anybody says. Like, I was introduced to them on my cousins. Our kids are their cousins. Mm-hmm. I don't even know what you would call it, but they're my cousins.
Yeah.
And our group text literally says, primas, pero no. You know, like, in parentheses, that's the primas group text. And to me, they're more family than that cousin that supposedly mm-hmm. is, like, somewhere lost in Mexico City. I don't feel anything towards them. And I don't mean it's mean, it's just...
Yeah, well, maybe, because you've never really hung out with them, right? So maybe if you did...
I've never seen the picture, nothing.
Yeah. Like, in my case, or my family, there's a generation that... Since I'm the youngest, there's a generation of nephews and nieces that are my age. That, you know, like the kids of my oldest brothers and sisters.
Oh,
age, right?
Yes.
So I grew up with them.
Yes.
And there are a few of them that, even though we grew up together, as we grew older, we kind of lost that connection. And then I connected more with the next generation. I don't know if it's because
you're a young soul.
I'm a young soul.
I get it.
Yeah.
See, so igual tengo cousins. They're my cousins.
Necesito madurar.
No, you're. Think you're doing great. Tengo primas, pero yo les digo tías, que son de la edad de mamá. And to me, they're my tías, and my mom's like, no, es tu prima. But I'm like, she's your age, mom. Like, you know, her daughters are my age, so to me, those are my cousins. Yeah. And so I feel more connect. I feel more like, because I grew up with them, connected with them. But I know you said 20 minutes. But
one last question, and make it count.
Well, actually, I asked you this question earlier, but I just phrased it differently. I believe that everyone's a unicorn in their own sense, which is why it's called Unicorns Do Exist.
Okay.
What makes you a unicorn?
Okay, what makes me a unicorn? I don't have to think hard about this one. I mean, like you said, everybody in their own way, just because they're existing.
Yep.
Because they have the ability to exist, and that's it. That makes you... But it makes you unique, right? I mean, there's not two of me.
No.
Right? So I think that alone makes everybody special. What I would consider for me is the fact that I think I can see in other people, or I can relate to other people that need me. Okay, not because I'm essential or anything, no. But that need, like, my time and my attention when they're going through something that I can identify. And I think I've developed that through the years. Like, for instance, I have felt lonely at some point, and I think because I have felt that way, I've learned to identify people that are going through that. And even though it might be like uncomfortable, you know, like that bond time or whatever, I kind of stay there to make sure that they don't feel lonely, right? That's it. I think that's the only thing that I could say that's valuable to society. Everybody is, just by being, it's special.
Yeah.
But I think that what makes you said what's special about me, if I needed to pick one thing, I think that's what it is. Like being able to identify when somebody might benefit from me caring.
So
being there for them.
Whether you're needed or not.
I don't need it.
Whether it makes you feel needed or not.
Well, yeah, no, it's not that they need me. Yeah, mm-hmm. No, it's not that they need me. They don't. I'm not stating that, or I'm not assuming they need me. Mm-hmm. I just feel that they see when I have gone through moments where I feel, where I have felt that I didn't have anybody. Mm-hmm. Somebody showed up. The most mm-hmm. random person mm-hmm. showed up, and that person took away that emotion. Okay. Right. So what I'm saying with that is that if I can be that person to somebody that's probably feeling or is like borderline depressed.
That was in the same place that you were.
Exactly.
At one point.
And then and I show up and then I start saying stupid things that make them laugh or giving them the reason to, no sé, salir y ir a un bar. Or, I'm sorry. I'm,
no, you're no. fine.
Yeah, I mean, like if I'm, I mean, I'm the one person that is like that will hit him up. Like, if I'm the one person that says, hey, you know, like let's go do this, right? Mm-hmm. Or help me trim a tree or whatever. But I'm giving them the reason to get out of bed and and do something just because there's that interaction.
Cambio de la depresión que tienen y decirle, hey, I'm here. Let's figure it out. Let's do something. Anything. Just don't stay in that slump.
Yeah. Well, that's. Now, I never confirmed that. I never asked that, right?
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I feel that way. Maybe it's my perception because I went through that. Maybe they're not even feeling that, but I feel like I have identified that. Like, I've been able to learn.
I think you can see it, too. Mm-hmm. Especially when you, like you said.
And some people do say it.
Yeah, like, dude, me sacaste de... Como estaba my sister or something. Or, like, you made me want to just, like I said, get up, shower, and go get a drink.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just... Come watch a soccer game.
Perfect. And mm-hmm. I think that, honestly, that's a beautiful way to put it because mm-hmm. who hasn't felt that way, you know?
And my painting is great, too.
Oh, yes. We can't wait to see it.
Yeah. But yeah. It was very nice. It's nice. I had already kind of sensed that we had a good conversation. Thank you. I appreciate this.
Thank you for joining my podcast. Thank you for everyone that stayed to the end. All of our audience, we actually have a live audience today. They were so great as well. It's true, we do.
All the live audience.
Yeah, live audience.
Oh, look, I've been sick
here, right? I did not go live.
I got nervous.
Thank you for listening. And once again, if you are here to the end, don't forget to send to someone that might need a little pick-me-up, that might need someone to take him out of their slump. If you know a friend,
and smile all day long.
Yeah,
smile.
Just smile, laugh, either at
and
us or with us.
Trust in the process.
Yes.
Trust the process. Trust that the process, like everything, will be okay. Everything. And now I'm getting up, and I have nothing underneath, so you're gonna have to edit that
most
out.
Most importantly, remember that unicorns do exist because you, my love,
and you're about to see one right now.
Are one of
standing up.
I want to
see the you get to see the horn of that unicorn. You're gonna cut it out?
Woo!